Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How is my favorite girl in the world?
Hello. I am wonderful, Cindy, and how are you?
Good. And, you know, when we were just briefly chatting for a minute, you were saying sometimes at work, you know, you have little bit of issues and things like that. Is anything that we're teaching on this radio show helping you?
Yes, actually, yes.
With dealing with people?
Well, you know what? A lot, actually, because in several different things, you know, I mean, and I'm not going to go through the whole long story of everything, but, you know, I had I made a little blunder at work, and then I had to deal with the consequences of it, and the blunder involved other people. And, you know, basically, you know, when you know, whereas normally I would have just kind of been like, oh, shit, and, you know, I would have just, you know, kind of like curled up a little bit, and I would have just kind of bent over backwards and compromised more things than I should have to try to be the people pleaser. I kind of just looked at everything objectively, and I kind of tried to understand where everybody that was involved was coming from, and, you know, I made logical decisions, and, you know, I basically, you know, went through, you know, everything in like a step-by-step process, and, you know, I let go of the negativity, I let go of all of, you know, the, you know, all of the things that were being slung back and forth that were in that negative, you know, deconstructive, you know, just not productive mindset. And I said, okay, now that we've gotten all of that out of our systems, how are we going to move forward and how are we going to fix things versus just adding fuel to the fire? So I think that in general, just my overall approach was just more, you know, more logical, but it was also just kind of understanding other people's feelings, agreeing to disagree, and then moving forward in a more positive light.
Good. And did you try to just deal with the righteous anger, which means we address facts of what happened? We don't exaggerate.
Exactly.
We don't attack people personally.
No. Maybe I should have used your words. It was more or less kind of like I said, things were being flung back and forth. And I kind of just like bit my tongue. And you know me, Cindy, I'm a hothead sometimes. And sometimes if, you know, I'm attacked or things like that, I start right back. But after things had gone back and forth, I said, okay, now that that's done, now that we've all gotten all that out of our systems, these are the facts. And now how are we going to move forward? You know, and I put it straight to not what they were perceiving what was going on, but what actually existed.
Good. And now you're knowing that, you know, the best way to deal in business is calmly. And, of course, we have to take responsibilities if, you know, we've made a mistake or, you know, we're the one to blame and we take the responsibility. But people tend to, if you take it down a couple of notches and not respond with attacking them and calmer, it sort of becomes contagious. It's just as things escalate, if you, you know, start screaming, it also can sort of bring the best out in people if you kind of deal just the way you're dealing with it. And it's an amazing lesson in life when we get a situation and we deal with it differently than we've done in the past. And we go, wow, that was a lot better than things used to turn out.
Well, what's absolutely wonderful, Cindy, and I mean, this is just like, you know, if you ever wanted validation on what you just said, this would be it, okay? Because like I said, we dealt with facts. We didn't deal with perception. We didn't, you know, we dealt with the facts. And you know what? There were three people involved. There was my office, and then there was two other people involved. And two out of the three of us handled it the exact same way. We wanted to deal with what the facts were. We wanted to let go of, you know, all of the anger that, you know, of our perceptions and what we were reading into things. We assessed that there was absolutely no malice, you know, intended in the particular situation. And the person or persons that behaved badly and that did not want to see facts, that wanted to have clouded judgment, that wanted to hold on to the anger, they wound up being extremely malicious. They wound up being extremely vindictive. And as a result, they did not get the outcome that they wanted. You know, so it just goes to show you that, that when you do handle things that way, you deal purely with fact-based issues and not emotion-based issues, you're more likely to get that positive outcome.
Right, and being careful not to attack people. I mean, it's funny because, you know, people work very hard, and, you know, older souls are the donkey people. We talk about that. They do the work of eight people. And sometimes they mess up because they're doing too much work. And it's nice if people would cut some people some slack a little bit here and there. You know, if something, you know, maybe they didn't see the email, maybe something. But I just find that people can be very hard on people when they're working. And we don't need to attack people personally if the work isn't done properly or something's not done right. We can just first state the facts and see what happens before we go ballistic. But I find, you know, I work a lot of hours and, you know, I'm busy and I don't have any office staff, and people say, well, you should hire some. I said, at this stage in my life, I don't want the business to be what it is. It's too big. I run my business from my home. I don't want people here. So you have to bear with me. Sometimes I'm a little backed up. It'll get done. But, you know, sometimes I'll get like a nasty email back from someone. Well, you know, you didn't answer me soon enough. Well, I answered you like, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I answered you at like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. I think that's like, you know, pretty close. But that kind of attacking of people and when they're working and doing the best they can. And most people are overworked and understaffed in every job. You agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
And so if someone makes a mistake, people can cut them a little slack, you know, for the most part. You know, I'm not a doctor, you're not a doctor. Nobody dies from my mistakes, you know what I mean? It's like, so please, you know, cut us a little slack. And I think you needed to learn that, and I think – you also needed to learn to control your temper, which I'm proud of you. You did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I'm proud of you.
I didn't like it very much.
Well, you wanted to yell, but, it, you know, it's that's the
but
first
no,
thing
I
we
didn't.
Do is yell.
I really wanted to yell. I really, really
I know.
Did.
I know you did.
But
I know.
I didn't.
I know. Good. And it's, you know, sometimes it's hard because we've learned things in our childhood, and, you know, to have bad tempers. I mean, I really had a bad temper when I was younger, but I learned willpower. I learned to just stop it. You know, sometimes you don't need deep psychological counseling at that point. You just need to practice willpower and just stop. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it might take you 20 years to find out why we have all that anger, but we, you know, before you find out the reasons why you have your anger, maybe you need to control it. So it's always been a battle for me. And I find if I'm tired or hungry, but particularly if I'm tired, my temper can be short. So I try never to be overtired if I can help it, because then the temper comes. But I'm glad you contained it. It never goes well in business to raise your voice or yell. It just seems to backfire a lot. And it's, you know, one of those things. Sometimes the way we handle a problem or a situation is worse than the problem the issue was to begin with. So
yeah,
I'm glad.
I think that if I would have yelled and I would have followed like that emotion, then I would have wound up in a worse situation that had already existed. It would have just complicated things, and, you know, there would have been more issues, and it would have been a can of worms that was just not worth opening up at the time. You know, it just really wasn't. So,
and I find it's important you learn it. I mean, you know, sometimes I deliver hard messages and people don't like them, and they're very receptive when they're here, and then they send me a nasty email later on. And I've just learned to say, you know, I'm not backing down on what I said, and I try to answer it very nicely. And I understand that maybe they didn't want to hear what was heard. And then I will hear a year later how it was absolutely accurate. But meanwhile, you know, it hurts if you attack people. So there's always ways to say things and, you know, be careful with attacking other people. It just never works well. I mean, you know, sometimes if you're dealing with a psychopath, I guess maybe we got to get that level. But for most people, we're not dealing with those. We're dealing with, like, regular people. And I think you handled it very well. And I think you're growing up, Nicole. You're really growing up.
I'm being a big girl now.
And what
well,
happens is
you,
when a situation like this happens,
you raised me well.
It can show people that she can handle anything. You can, you know, sometimes if you're very diplomatic and you can handle situations, you can rise very high in a position of power. Not that you never made mistakes, but it's that they realize if mistakes are made, you know how to handle it. How valuable is that person?
Very.
Very valuable.
And I have been told so throughout the organization, throughout this entire thing, too. So, you know, everybody was impressed by the way that, you know, I kind of just admitted fault, came up with solutions, and, you know, didn't give in to, you know, the kind of things that you know, they were throwing out there. So, you know, I got a couple pats on the backs. Even though I messed up, I got more pats on the backs this week than I probably have, you know, in my entire time there.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Everybody makes a mistake. It's how we handle it, how we try to rectify the situation, how we try to make amends. And that's what you've done, because everybody in business is going to make a mistake. It's just the way it is. The only people that don't make mistakes are people that don't do anything. So, you know, it's going to happen, and how we handle it is important. And that's why good people can't leave bad relationships. It's not just about, you know, romantic relations. It's about business relationships and how to handle yourself in business, you know, in ways that diffuses situations, doesn't escalate it, and can keep your career moving forward. And you have just proven today something very important, that you handled the situation. And instead of losing sleep over it, now you can just, you don't have to be saying, oh, my God, I should have done this. Why didn't I do that? You can just say, okay, that's done, that's closed, and I'm moving forward.
Yep, exactly.
Well, we do have a lot of listeners tonight. It's a kind of a warm night, and I was wondering if we were going to get any listeners, since people are kind of out there and enjoying. But did you tell people how to get in contact with us if they want to? Did you tell them they have to press 1?
I did not. I did not just yet, but just so everybody knows, when you are listening through your phone, if you please press the number 1 if you would like to talk to Cindy, so that this way I get an alert and I can screen you, and you can get your reading and see what questions can be answered.
Perfect. Now, we do have one person. It looks like a 631 number.
Yeah, we've got a lot of listeners, and nobody's pressing the number 1. But sometimes that happens too, though. Sometimes they just need, you know, to get the show started, you know, in the direction they want to go, and then all of a sudden everybody needs to chime in. So let's, as usual, I never ever screen the first caller. The first caller is coming from a Long Island number, it looks like. The last 4 digits of your phone number are 9688, and let's see who's waiting for us there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, this is Cindy, and who is this?
Hi, Cindy. This is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. So you've been waiting a long time. You must have something on your mind today.
I do.
That you would
I
like
do.
To share with our listeners. So why don't you just start right in, and we'll try to help you.
I've talked to you once or twice before. I've had a reading with you, and I called in once before. And I'm still in a limbo area of my love life where I'm trying to figure out what path I'm taking. And I'm just looking for a little guidance.
Okay. Are you you're currently
separated.
In a relationship?
I'm legally separated from my husband, which I think is a good thing now that I look back on it. And I'm kind of revisiting a relationship that I had prior to that.
Okay, good. Now, you know, with your husband, you know, you're still watching your back with him a bit because,
yes.
he might be laying low a little bit, but that doesn't mean he's not still plotting and planning. So, just, I think that's why now that you've left him and you could see some of his true colors, you're beginning to realize why separating from him was the right thing to do. So sometimes we could thank people for their behaviors because they reinforce why we had to do what we had to do.
Right.
But with the relationship you revisited, now, are you dating him? Is it a relationship? What do you call this thing?
No, he's involved with somebody now, too, that he's in a marriage that he's tells me he's not 100% happy in, but we're really just, I guess, on a friend level right now, but we've talked about what we used to have, and we've talked about, you know, what it could be like, but nothing's really happened.
Okay,
and I don't
again,
know if I should pursue it.
What's going on is, you know, he is still married, and, you know, you're separated, and, you know, that's great, but as a sisterhood of women, it's not such a great idea to get involved with a man who's still married. And
I would never normally have done this, But
we know who you are, Stacey. We know that.
Yeah.
And of course, you guys were soulmates, and there's a soulmate connection here, that heart, soul, mind, body.
Right.
And of
right.
course, you two were, you know, young, and you know, you both married other people, and sometimes we have to do that. We have to relive our own parents' marriage if it was bad, and we have to kind of learn lessons. And sometimes it's better we do it with somebody else and not a soulmate and destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing with the cards here, and I don't know if I brought it up in the reading with you, because all of my readings are pretty much taken from out of my head, because I read too many people and my mind was like really slow, and the universe
mm-hmm.
just takes huge chunks out of my head, and I used to say, how can you do that? And they go, well, we put thoughts into your head from the dead, why can't we take them out? So I get what they do. I mean, makes sense, you know, you put them in, you take them out.
Mm-hmm.
But with him, it looks like he you know, you're soulmate. We'll call your ex-husband your ex, and we'll call your soulmate. It looks
okay.
like your soulmate doesn't want to divorce because there's a money issue here, and I don't think he wants to divorce, and I think he's concerned what people will say and do if he divorces.
Mm-hmm.
And he tends to follow more what other people would tell him to do than his own heart is telling him. And it looks like he would have an affair with you, full-blown, and, you know, have his cake and eat it too. But that would eventually lead you to be the woman, you know, to be a mistress is not a great thing. It's been holidays alone.
No, that's
alone.
Not what I want.
And, you know, he may be the transition man, and I think we discussed that part,
yeah.
that he's brought to help you realize why you can't go back to your husband. Your husband appears to have not been a great soulmate to begin with. Are you in agreement with
no.
that?
Yeah, definitely.
He was like a man to fit a plan. And if he had been a better man to fit a plan, you probably wouldn't leave him if he was just had been better to you. You know, you're a very loyal person. You probably would have just stayed married and sucked it up. But
mm-hmm.
the fact that it didn't work out that way, now you've been brought in alignment with this man again to remind you of what a soulmate is, so that you don't ever think about going back to your husband. And you start, you know, realizing what I want is a soulmate. And you could say that soulmate prayer, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's, you know, this man, so be it. If it's someone else, the universe will eventually bring you him. But it's almost like because he's married, you're sort of having a relationship, but not really. So it's giving you somebody to sort of lean on, but you're basically
right.
standing on your own two feet. Can you feel that?
Definitely.
I mean, you
yeah.
can't call him
yeah.
at 2:00 in the morning, the pipe
no.
burst, okay?
No.
You can't, you know, ask him for help whenever you need it. So he's helping you be that woman who's standing on her own two feet without a man. It appears that your marriage was pretty long term. So how
yeah.
long were you with him?
18 years.
Okay, so, you know, for 18 years, you had a man, you know, that you depended on at some level. And now you have to learn that women have to learn to stand on their own two feet without a man. So I think this is the perfect soulmate for you right now. If he were single and available, you would just go from one man to another. And Stacey needs to know who Stacey is without the context of a relationship. Which means, you know, there's certain values we can't compromise on. There's certain things that, you know, you're probably discovering about yourself. Are you liking things you're learning about yourself?
Yeah. Look, some of it's a little scary, but some of it is good.
Right. So for you, this might be just perfect for now, but you're pretty much going to have to you're enabling him. And older souls are great enablers and great crap takers.
Mm-hmm.
We enable everybody. He can stay with his wife. He doesn't have to rock his world, and he can still have me to talk to. There will be a point where, you know, in your own mind, it could be at the one-year mark from when you've reconnected,
mm-hmm.
Because you won't incur negative karma for what you're doing for a year. I mean, it would be stupid for him to leave his wife for you. He doesn't know... You know, you're new. You know, it's a new thing with you now, even though you've known each other in the past. Of course, he would have to think about why his marriage isn't working, all the things that you had to figure out to get to that point to divorce. But
right.
at the year mark, it would start to incur negative karma for you to have an emotional relationship with him, even if it's not a sexual or, you know, physical one.
Okay.
Because, you know, he might not be able to stay married unless he still had this relationship with you. So, you know, put it in your mind when it gets to a year, and how long from now is that going to be?
November.
by the time November comes, it's kind of saying to him, I don't need a friend. I need a lover. I need a committed relationship. And you can't provide that for me. And, you know, you're giving me the illusion of relationship, but it's not really a relationship. So I'm going to need to cut off all ties, no talking, no communication. And see if when he goes back to his marriage without you, he can't even survive in it without you. He's going to realize that he misses you. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't look like he plans on leaving her anytime soon. I don't know what he's told you.
Yeah, I mean, he's been honest because he does have kids. So he has said, you know, at least until the kids are out of the house, he's committed to staying.
Okay, so just because it's a new form of manipulation by people is to tell us, to be honest with us. Okay, he's honestly telling you, I'm not leaving her.
Is he lying? Is he lying?
No, he's not lying, but the point is, just because, and how old are these kids? How long is this that he has to stay in the house?
They're like 15. His youngest is 15.
So he's staying for like 3 years at least.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, just because he tells us he can't be, the truth, I'm not leaving till they're 18, that doesn't mean you have to accept that.
Right.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But and if if I'm still around 3 years from now, so be it. But I've heard way too many times with people like, okay, now I can't leave because my daughter's getting married, or now I can't leave because
mm-hmm.
I have to stay for the graduation, and now I can't leave because we have no money, and now my wife is sick and I can't leave.
Right.
You know, he's not a person that's really offering you anything other than some emotional support you need. And I will tell you, there's no knight in shining armor going to rescue us. This man has
right.
been brought here to show you I got to stand on my own 2 feet. And, you know, he told you he's not leaving for 3 years. Do you want to have this kind of relationship that you have with him for 3 years?
No.
Not more?
No. Yeah.
And again, he wants to have his cake and eat it too. He wants
mm-hmm.
to have you, and, you know, he wants to still look like the respectable father. I mean, he's not fooling anybody. His kids know he's unhappy, so he's not fooling anybody. And, you know, it's funny because people think, you know, they need to sacrifice their life and do this. He's just showing his children a very bad version of marriage and love. So he's not
really
doing
them. Yeah,
that's
what I felt like I was doing. That's why I'm kind of glad my marriage ended or is ending, because I felt that's like what I was doing. I was just trying to make the best of it. So.
And again, you know, our children know that we're unhappy. My daughter was a wake-up call for me when I told her she had to go to school and she was 15, and she said, why, Mommy? So I should work hard, look pretty, do everything great, and grow up to hate my fucking life like you hate yours. I think I'll get stoned today. I was not fooling anybody. I tried.
Right.
I put on a happy face. We don't fool our kids. They're watching us every day of our life. They know we're not happy. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and American children, by the way, and, you know, the little heads up for him, they want to get a one-way ticket to Mars when they're 18. They're going to say, see ya. They're not going to sacrifice their life for us. They're not going to,
mm-hmm.
you know, not marry the person they want to marry. Or if they want to change their agenda in whatever they want to do, they're going to do. They're not going to ask us, how do you feel about this? They're going
right.
to do what they want. So, you know, realize sometimes people use their children as an excuse. And, you know, it's, okay, now I can't. And it sounds nice and it sounds good. But, you know, it's right now it sounds a pretty big excuse for him. And, you know, how involved is he with his children?
Very.
And, you know, I'm sure he likes being the respectable person in the community. He's
mm-hmm.
involved with his children. He's a good father.
Right.
But I'm not seeing him, like, leave anytime soon. And even at the three-year mark, there's
yeah.
no guarantee, because it'll always be, now I can't afford to divorce because my kids are in college and I don't have any money. Do you know?
I just wonder if I should just
all?
End it now, if I should just not even try to be friends with him, because I just can't seem to be able to do that.
Well, first of all, the problem is when love goes from soulmate to what's going on now, which is a pretty toxic relationship, whether you know it or not, because it's not honest, it's not based on being able to heal issues and come together, it can become really addictive. So
yeah,
the longer
then it
you
happens.
Speak, and then it's like heroin. It's not good for us. We go back for more. So I'm just
mm-hmm.
afraid that, you know, maybe you need to lean on him, and if you see what it is and what it's for, maybe it won't hurt you. But if you continue it till November, you may find yourself really hooked on this you know, you need his, you know, his strokings and his telling you how beautiful you are and nice and how much he wishes he could be with you. Maybe it's things you need to hear, but, you know, it's, we didn't come this far in liberation divorcing men to have men have their cake and eat it. So there is a contradiction there. Can you see that?
It's
not okay. And again,
yeah.
God knows
and my
what
husband
time
cheated on me, so I don't want to be that person to somebody else either.
And, you know, you don't want to put the wrecking ball to somebody else's marriage because somebody did it to yours. But sometimes God puts us in a position where we don't judge others. Maybe don't judge the woman who had the affair with her husband. You can judge her actions as unacceptable, but not the person. You don't know what motivated the whole thing. But it looks like it'll be up to you to be strong and kind of say, look, I would want more than anything to be with you, but I'm not wrecking your marriage. You're not leaving your wife for me. You're leaving her because you need to leave her. But I can't do this. It's very bad karma to do this. It's not right to do to another woman. So if 3 years or 5 years or 10 years or whenever you get out of this mess, if I'm still here, then give me a call. But, you know, I'm moving on. I'm looking for a committed relationship. He has to fear losing you more than loving you, by the way. I mean, if you're out in the open market, he might get a little nervous.
Okay.
And again, you know, he's not leaving her for you. This is not a good marriage. And, you know, I deal with this every day, you know, in my work. But you'd be surprised the million excuses people give to stay married. I mean, it's like, and I'll say they all sound good, but you're going to die young. I guarantee you won't be alive 5 years from now. Yeah, you'll stay, but you'll drop dead of cancer or you'll get sick. And inevitably, I've seen it happen way too many times. You know, we can't stay unhappy forever. You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I'm glad that, you know, you realize that nothing's going to change here unless you're the one who sort of pushes something.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you are not responsible for the ending of this relationship by telling him he's got to choose her or you, and he's got to, you know, end his marriage karmically correct as he can. You're not wrong. You would be held accountable in November for continuing to kind of carry on an affair. It's not great karma. It's not horrible. I mean, the guy's not going to, you know, mash your teeth and whatever, but the point is, it's just, it will interfere with you being granted another soulmate.
And that's what I want. I mean, I just want to be happy again.
And I want you to be happy by yourself. Are you starting to feel a little happy by yourself once in a while?
Sometimes. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Are you lonely?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Yes, and of course lonely is good because I don't want you to be happy to be alone for the rest of your life. But people have to fall in love with themselves. They have to develop some interest in things that they can do on their own. You know, my childhood, I had three older brothers in an all-boy neighborhood, essentially. You know, I spent a lot of time alone. There was, you know, I wasn't going to play the stupid boy games. But I learned to be happy when I'm by myself. I like to be alone. I like my energy. There's a million things I could do. So people who can be alone usually end up with better relationships because they don't stay just because they're needy.
Yeah, and I don't want to be needy. That's one thing I don't want to be.
Right. And, you know, women by nature have been groomed to be needy, by the way. So we've got to sort of, you know, do behavior modification to overcome that neediness. And sometimes we get scared. We don't know how to do things. We don't know how to buy a car sometimes. We don't know how to fix a computer. We're not, you know, we got to learn to, like, hire somebody to do something. We've got to learn to ask somebody for help. So sometimes it's just asking people for help when you don't know how to do something. And it doesn't have to be a man. It could be, you know, even if you have to pay somebody. But the point is, try to stand on your own 2 feet. And with this man, you really are. He's not there for you. I mean, how often do you talk to him?
I talk to him, you know, every couple of days, but I don't see him that often.
Right. And, but if you needed something, you couldn't call him. My car broke down. Come and help me.
Not really. Not dependably.
Right. So, you know, it's showing that you really are standing on your own 2 feet. And, you know, just coming to that place of courage. You had a lot of courage when you were little. Don't lose your courage.
Yeah.
And it takes courage to divorce. It's an earthquake. It's probably one of the hardest things people can do. Good people. People are not good. It's so easy. They hate people. They make it horrible. They get fun out of it. But good people don't want to hurt people. They don't want to make this mess. And a divorce is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that once you're through it and it's over with, it'll be, you know, the best decision you've made. And again, this man, you know, how often do you get a second chance with a soulmate? You're going to blow a second round of it? That's pretty stupid, don't you think?
Yeah.
And, you know, but I see it way too many times. It's the scenario is people are just running. They just run from it. They go back. You know how many people are with their soulmate for 6 months and he goes back to his ex that was miserable? You know, stupid.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you. Call in again and let us know what you decide. Because
okay.
There's a lot of listeners with the same in the same boat as you.
Yeah, so, I've heard that.
You know that. You know, you're not the only one with this, but
yep.
they like to hear what you're going to do.
Thank you, Cindy.
Well, good luck to you. Bye.
Bye.
Now, Nicole, doesn't it sound like people are always trying to hold on to their marriages and still have an affair and stuff like
yeah.
that?
Yeah,
know,
it does.
It's as old as time, that scenario. It's just that in this day and age, it really incurs much more negative karma than in the past when people really couldn't divorce. Like sometimes a man really wanted to divorce his wife, but she couldn't support herself, and he was obligated to support her, and he couldn't leave
mm-hmm.
her. But he would have an affair because he didn't love his wife. He never loved her. That wasn't incurring such negative karma because God really saw to the intention. I can't leave her down and out. I have to support her. I mean, that makes
yeah.
sense. But in this day and age where people are supposed to be supporting themselves, women work, men work, it's a lot more negative karma to stay, you know, married for any reason other than you really love this person, you committing to them, you know, you're not sacrificing your life. And but these old ways of cake and eat it too are really pretty strong in this culture.
Yeah, they really, really are. Well, and you know what? It's also, you know, because people, they accept it, you know, people turn the blind eye because, you know, there is that fear that they're not going to be able to support themselves. There is that fear of being alone, you know, and sometimes when things are not working out in a relationship, it causes panic, you know, and it causes, you know, that pain of the unknown. And unfortunately, panic and pain, they both cause tunnel vision, you know, but, you know, the reverse of that is that if, you know, people, you know, calmly, you know, and accept what a situation is and that a situation is just not working or you know, the situation is just not meant to be or that circumstances have changed, that calm acceptance of that, you know, situation that although it might hurt us will allow you to actually assess what the situation really is and see what your options are moving forward. You know, for a guy to say, well, I'm only staying with her because she can't support herself, well, nobody's telling him that he cannot walk out and start the proceedings of living his own life and terminating that relationship and still help until they can come to some sort of an arrangement or an agreement. He does not have to be in the house or engage in a relationship with that person. He can still be a nice guy, you know, and say, listen, if you need any help, whatever, you know what, I'm here or whatever, until you know you can figure out your thing. Nothing's saying that they can't be a nice guy. You don't have to stay in the house for that. You don't have to lie for that. And you don't have to raise somebody else's expectations for that. You can still do all of those things, but you choose not to. It's a choice, you know, to have your cake and eat it too. It's a choice to not make that step away. And it's a choice not to have one foot in and one foot out. Because this way, as you're looking for that other option, if that other option doesn't work out, you have a comfortable place to go back to.
Also realize, you know, a lot of people are, you know, they say it's for their children. They say it's just, it sounds good. But most people are not all that self-sacrificing, by the way. So there has
yeah.
to be some payoffs in him for staying. Like he doesn't want to divide his money, his own ego
yep.
doesn't want, you know, what people would say. Maybe he's judged his father for whatever his father did and his own judgments are keeping him trapped there. So a lot of times when people are saying it's for the children, you know, I question that because it's just the easy answer to give people. Nobody can, challenge that answer. But, you know... When, you know, my father would have probably said, yeah, I'm staying for the children. He could give two craps about us. So, I mean, really, you know, a lot of times people say the answers that they think people want to hear, but they're not necessarily truth. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's...
Well,
they
believe to be true. They convince
right.
themselves that that is their truth.
Exactly. And, you know, I just find sometimes, you know, calling people on what they say, you know, and what they really mean and feel. So, you know, and men who complain about their wives is a sisterhood of women. It's like, you know, you got to say, if you're not happy with her, you got to leave her. Don't complain about her. You know, just find somebody else. But, you know, the women, well, he's not happy. I hear that all the time. Well, he's not happy. He's not happy. So make yourself happy. You know, do something about it. But it's really something that I feel is hurting a lot of people. They, way too many of my clients have been in long-term, you know, relationships with married men that had gone on for 10, 15 years. The guy never left. And then he drops dead. And funny, the wife gets everything, and this mistress for 15 years is left with nothing. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, how does that feel? You know, it's like you've been sacrificing. You have no children. You're 50 years old. You stayed with him since you're 35. He's dropped dead. She has, you know, children. She has the house. She has everything. What did you get out of this for 15 years? Nothing. He didn't even think to help
company.
You in any way. Right. I mean, it's sad. Well, we do have Jennifer in Canada who calls kind of frequently. And
yes.
And she has a specific question or something, do you know? Because you seem to have spoken to her.
She doesn't have a specific question. She's going to tell you about her question, but she's look at that. I started on the work note when we first started here, and now we are back to the work note. So Jennifer's got some career questions for you, Cindy, and she wants to know what her cards are saying. So I'm going to let Jennifer explain right now. Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hello, Cindy. Thank you, Nicole.
You have such a pretty voice, Jennifer. So, okay, so you have career questions, which we love from women, so. What's been going on in your career?
I feel like I'm at the point, you know how women sort of undervalue themselves in the career force and they don't think that they can, you know, take their career to the next level. Well, I sort of put that behind me and now I'm ready to figure out, you know, something. And because I feel that I am undervalued, but I don't feel like I'm underpaid for my job. I'm paid exactly what I should be paid because it's kind of a menial job. So I'm looking to stretch myself a little bit more.
Okay, and I love the way you were so astute in the understanding of women. They even say that women are so underpaid more than men, and they're doing it to themselves. In other words, when they're asked what salary you want, they always say a lower number than a man says for the same job. And the man always gets the $10,000 or $20,000 more than the woman asked for. Because the men ask. Women have always undervalued themselves, and they're having all, you know, they're pretty new to the workforce and they're having trouble. But the menial job was good for you because it showed that you have a work ethic, shows that you could work, shows that, you know, that you were competent in what you were doing. And moving on now, and there is a little bit of problem because when you try to get another job, unfortunately, they go by your last salary, which is not fair. And, you know, sometimes they'll go, what did you make at that? And then they're going to give you a little bit more than that. So that could hurt you at some level. So you might want to make sure you're applying for jobs that already have a much higher range than you have or right now. Like they're not looking to pay you what you've made in the past because you want to be, you know, you want a much more professional job. There's a new job showing up here in the cards. Do you have an idea what you wanted to be doing?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, and do you like working with people?
Yes.
Because your people skills are great. So I was going to say, if you're very articulate, you're very intelligent. So you dealing at a level where you deal with people is really where your skill is. Because not everybody's polite and well-spoken. So it looks like if you could work on something that deals with people, you know, your current job is going to miss you when you're gone, by the way.
Yeah, because mine is a hard job to fill.
Right. Okay. And they're going to miss you. But did you work on your resume? Did you have someone, like, professionally look at it to make it look good? Because sometimes we need an objective eye on our resumes.
I took a course in university on how to write a resume. So, and I've usually... If I'm qualified for the job, I usually get an interview based on my resume.
Good. And yeah. I'm saying, well, good. You know, if you took a course, you know what I'm talking about. Resumes, it's a certain thing. Now, what have you been applying for?
Nothing yet. I did tell my boss within the same organization. He had a career discussion with me a couple weeks ago, and I said, I think I want to go in this direction. It's more of a commission sales role. So I'd still be working with people, but it's just
sales
entirely
is all
on
people. Sales,
yeah,
is
exactly.
All people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Salesmen are the absolute best, you know, communicators. So
mm-hmm.
salespeople. So yeah, that looks. You look like you would do very well in sales, by the way. Here. So that's something for you to keep in mind. And how did he respond to that?
He was a little surprised because right now I'm still in sales, but it's more of a relationship management kind of role where I manage the relationship. I'm still selling, but it's not, it's more of a less prospecting, more, you know, more reactive than it is proactive. And there is a lot of administration that goes with it, which I'm not very good at.
Right. So, you know, sometimes trying to switch a position in a company in America is not that easy. Sometimes you have to go out, you know, move to another company who they don't have
mm-hmm.
you sort of pegged in one thing. So, you know, if your boss doesn't want to go along with this, what do you intend to do?
He said he supports whatever I want to do because I've accomplished as much as I have in my role. So he said he would introduce me to the person that's in charge of the people of this role. He hasn't done that yet, but he knows what I want to end up doing. And he gave me some tips on how to get there. So I don't know if I necessarily want to leave the organization. I'm willing to, but I don't, that's the one thing where I'm like,
And again, you've got to see, he's telling you something, you got to see if he carries it through. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because sometimes people tell us what we want to hear and nothing ever comes of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just what I'm seeing here is he doesn't want to lose you. So if he knows he's going to lose you, if he doesn't go along with it, he very well may do what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows you're a good employee. He doesn't want to lose you. So
mm-hmm.
you might have to just bug him a bit. You know, just keep asking him. You have a really good 5-year period opening up career-wise and learning more and making much better money here. So, you know, your career actually looks like it can fly if you want it to. I mean, you're
mm-hmm.
going to surprise him. Maybe he doesn't know you can do this, but you're going to prove that, you know, you can. And you're really, really, but if he doesn't, you know, you have to put it in your own mind. If in 3 months from now or 6 months from now nothing changes here, you definitely have to look elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he does, again, he doesn't want to lose you. So just, you know, let him know that you're not happy with the capacity you're doing and, you know, you really need to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Stress it. He doesn't know if you're just having a little hissy fit, you know what I'm saying, right now?
No, I think he knows. Yeah, I think he knows.
Good. And you're going to do
mm-hmm.
very well career-wise and much more money. You're selling yourself short, by the way.
Do you see me doubling or tripling my salary?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
There's really much better money here. And, again,
mm-hmm.
you've proven your work ethic to this person. So, you know, you're a good person for him to invest in training, by the way. So,
okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how he's feeling. If I have to train somebody, it would be her. Really very good money. The next year should make, you know, especially since it's a commission and sales, you know, you can make as much money as you want to here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fun part about a job like that. It gives you motivation. You'll looks like there's no end to what you can make if you really start mastering your skills. So just have some courage. There's nothing bad in your cards money-wise with this new venture.
Okay.
And
good.
Again, you know, you might, once you master your skills there, don't just be loyal to this company forever. If you find you're not making the money you should later on, then you go to another company, but you have the skills, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Good luck to you. Call in and let us know what happens, but I'm so proud of you that you're not selling yourself short and you're beginning to realize that you have a lot of skills and you want to utilize them. And you're really good with people. And the number one thing with sales is you have to have people skills, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know what? People need to trust you. And I've got a lot of integrity, so that's why they trust me.
Right. And in sales, like, you know, and if you believe in a product, I can't sell anything I don't believe in, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I believe in a product, then I'm a very good salesperson of it because I believe in it. And because, like you're saying, people have integrity, if we believe in it, then the sales, people buy from us. Do you know what I'm saying? Because they know
exactly.
You won't sell something you don't believe in. Mm-hmm. So
people
again,
don't buy what you do; they buy why you do it.
Right, exactly. And know that you're going to do very, very well with that. And again, people trust you. That's what you want, you know, in a salesperson. You want somebody you trust. You know, when I had my children's entertainment business, people, you know, would want to spend a lot more money than they had to on a first birthday. And I'd go, really, you don't need all that. It's going to be overwhelming. As a matter of fact, it's going to be negative to have that many entertainers. Have one good entertainer. I advise you this. And they take what I advise, and then they'd have to take two other things. And I say, well, the kids are probably going to cry over that. Elmo's going to make them scream, but if you insist.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they'd call me back, oh, my God, you were right. And from then on, they listened to what I would sell them. Do you know what I mean? They did take what I said, but they had to take what they thought was also going to be. But they learned to use me for 20 years because I didn't oversell, or I would tell them, you don't need all that. So I would try to get people to believe, even if I did say, well, I think you're going to need this, another this, they would trust that I'm not just selling them something. To sell it is what they needed. So
mm-hmm.
That's building relationships, and I think you're going to find that you build relationships with people. Well, good luck to you, and let us know what happens.
Thanks, Cindy. Thanks, Nicole. Have a good weekend.
Thank you,
Jennifer. We will.
You
we'll
too.
Try to. Now, if any one of our listeners still wants to talk to us, they can press 1. We are ready for a caller. Otherwise, Nicole and I will just have to, you know, talk about what we need to talk about. Nicole.
Seemingly so.
People have been asking about you and Lisa and what's going on with you. You're engaged, and do we have a date set yet?
We do not have a date set yet. Right now we are coming up with our plan of action because, unfortunately, the whole idea that, you know, we were going to have, you know, this, like, small, you know, little wedding is pretty much going out the window, because once we actually got together to come up with a guest list, we're already, I think, at, like, 90 people. So that, you know, that whole idea of small is gone now. So, but we are, you know, making our proper preparations. And the plan that we are starting to come up with is that instead of going and getting married at a place per se, we would rather buy a house in the next year and get married at our new home. So that's where we're working to right now. And,
that
you know,
sounds
we've been
like a
shopping
great
around
plan.
And looking. And, yeah, you know, and, you know, this, you know, hopefully, you know, this home that we are looking for, and we are looking a little bit larger than our means right now because, hey, why not? And, you know, we're going to make sure that, you know, we just, you know, put a plan into action where we can get there. So, you know, that's what we're doing right now. You know, we're fixing up ourselves. You know, and where we, you know, obviously have been, you know, since February, you know, we have, you know, the whole joint checking thing, and, you know, everything is becoming more and more official every day. And, you know, we're just doing our best to, you know, to stay focused, eye on the prize. And, you know, we want to find that place to start our lives, and what better way to start our lives than to get married in the place that we're starting them.
And it looks really good for you getting the house. And it's good you're doing it now, because even since last year, I don't know if you read Newsday today, the house prices are up $14,000 from last year.
I know.
So they're starting to go up. And once they start moving, they start going up $14,000 a year, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
so this is a very good time for you to get one. And, you know, I'm pulling some cards on you. It looks like you're going to get one. Ideally, what you want, and do you have a town in mind, by the way, or, you know?
Well, Lisa and I are a little bit in between that. I've got some ideas, and she's got other ideas, and, you know, we're probably going to be doing someplace in the middle. Of course, you know, Lisa is an absolute beach bum, and, you know, she wants to be by the water and by the beach and blah, 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 and, you know, I think that I'm a little bit more of a realist, and I'm like, well, you know what, we can work up to that, but for now, why don't we just deal with, you know, the necessities, where, she, you know, in her head, she deals more with the wants. So we've decided that we're going to be shopping around, you know, anywhere between Long Beach and where we are now, and we're basically going to have a couple of her absolute, you know, her desires mixed in with, you know, what I think is reasonable and logical, and we're going to find something that fits. We're going to compromise.
Good, because that's what it's about. And
yes.
You know that you personally have a very good five-year period opening up, Nicole. You haven't had a reading in a while, but you have a really good five-year period here. And
cool. If I don't get in my own way again.
again, we keep reinforcing that you don't do that, and that you're growing up.
Yes.
You know, as far as you know, the house, it looks like, you know, you're really being like advised, you know, get it sooner than later. Not too much above your means, because even the bank won't give it to you anyway. So
exactly,
think, you know what I mean. So the banks have a way of like reining in a little bit, but you know, it looks like probably within the next few months, if you wanted to start moving, I hope it's you're going to find your dream house faster than you realize. By the way,
okay.
So I'm happy with that. Really happy with your cards and what you can expect, and better money for you. Now, Nicole, since we have a little time to talk, there are certain lessons that we've kind of reinforced on the show over the years, and I think maybe we could take a little time now to point some of them out. Do you have we talked about lessons you learned about, you know, how to speak up and deal with anger. What other lessons have you learned on Grant Me a Higher Love on the, you know, from that or from Why Good People in your now about eight years of doing this?
You can't put me on the spot like that, because then I don't, you know, I can't think properly.
Did you learn about commitment? Did you learn about commitment?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I definitely learned about commitment. I learned about how to properly deal with, you know, inner demons. And I learned, you know, how sometimes this whole, you know, our almost like collective self, so to speak, can, you know, like almost sort of like influence, you know, what you think is very, very unique and ideal for you. But, you know, that, you know, sometimes, you know, that can go astray, and that, you know, we're under certain karmic, you know, obligations, you know, in life, and we're under, you know, I don't know. It's like I'm like bits and pieces of your words are like popping in my head, but I can't like make them all make sense, you know.
Okay,
but I definitely learned that sometimes
you
have to find
to
what's
Lisa.
That?
You learned to, you and Lisa had to commit to each other, and that evolved.
Finally.
And you know, that was an important lesson. You learned to let go of a relationship that wasn't serving your higher good, that was there for a long time,
yes,
which was hard to let go of. And, you know,
yes,
and I think that took you a long time to break away. You also learned how to work hard and make things manifest, which seems to be something you are manifesting. You know, you've learned the laws of attraction since listening to the show. And we probably haven't even talked about them enough, but you saw what you wanted,
yes,
and you got it. Like, remember, if you could write down,
well, you know,
5 years.
Because you know what it is, honestly. Like I think the biggest thing that I learned, I mean, the overall biggest thing, is that before, I was always concentrated on the results of something. I was always concentrated on the end game, you know. And I was really, really kind of pinpointing it a little too much. Instead of concentrating on the journey, instead of concentrating on why I wanted that particular result, and, you know, and instead of realizing that, you know, sometimes I don't know what's best. Sometimes there's a higher power that knows what's best. Sometimes what I think is a deviation from my plan, you know, or from, you know, the plan is just a deviation from the plan that I have, and that sometimes that's okay.
And I love that, because you sort of must have read my mind today, because with one of my clients who seems to be very obsessed about getting this particular woman back and the outcome, and I've been saying for like 6 months, we have to pray for that soulmate who can love and commit to us, and if it's that person, so be it. But if we're so concerned with outcome, we, you know, might not realize what's best for us, and we're so busy wanting that outcome, and maybe that isn't the best person for us. Maybe, you know,
exactly,
this isn't the best thing that could be for us. But that's why we've had to learn to, like, do what's right without worry about outcome. And that's really hard for people, because people pay me, well, tell me what's going to happen. And I'm like,
yeah, no.
You know, and the funny part about what I do for a living is I could see in certain situations that this person maybe isn't coming back. And I'm trying to tell them that over a period of a year. But if I actually told them the truth, they can't deal with the truth. So I'm stuck with kind of saying, you know, don't worry about the outcome, and I try to talk around it a lot. But if people have a certain
outcome in mind, I know, you do that even
on
the show. That's why I give the tough love.
They don't want to hear that the outcome may not be what they want, that may not be what's right for them. And so, you know, for people, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because one of the biggest lessons in life is sometimes we have to let go and let God. We have to do, you know, what we need to do and let the outcome take care of itself. And it may not be what we wanted. It may not be the job we thought we wanted, or the person we thought we wanted, or the house we thought we wanted. But we end up having exactly what's right for us if we trust in the process of doing what's right, you know, acting karmically correct, using the principles from Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Relationships, and learning, you know, to just do it. And I think that's really brilliant that you've learned not to worry about the outcome, because everybody, well, tell me what's going to happen. Tell me. God doesn't always know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and actually, if you notice, Cindy, like when we first became friends, and I first started seeing you as one of your clients, I always wanted to know, well, what's going to happen? And now, when you give me readings, I don't ask you what's going to happen. You know, I don't. And you know what? I don't want to know what's going to happen, because you know what? What I think I may want to happen as I go through the process, I might change my mind. Why would I want to manifest something that's ultimately going to change, you know? So it's like by looking, you know, at just being very, very results-driven, you know, you're really, really shoeboxing, you know, putting yourself into a shoebox. And sometimes the last thing you need to do is be boxed in. Sometimes you just need to expand, you know, and figuring out why you want something is better than, you know, than trying to learn or trying to accept, you know, a result that you manifested that in the end you don't want.
Exactly. And, you know, the expression sometimes the gods punish us, they give us what we ask for. So, know that we have to sometimes, you know, learn the hard way, and sometimes we just have to learn to trust. And, you know, I'm really proud of you in the way that you've learned, you know, and I love that when you don't always hound me, what's the outcome? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, again, aren't I stuck between a rock and a hard place? If people can't handle what the true outcome is, what am I supposed to say at that moment? I try to talk around it, give them, you know, hope or at some level that their lives will be good, but maybe not have what they think they want, but it's very difficult because some people really get so stuck in the outcome that it has to be what they want it to be. And, you know, we're not always going to have the outcome we want, but you've learned enough that sometimes it was better than you thought life would be. You've gotten something better than you thought.
Yeah. Well, not even so much even what I could get that was better, but you know, it's like and you know, and I say this, you know, with the utmost respect, you know, but your client that is kind of, you know, constantly obsessed about getting, you know, this one person, you know, it's like, well, this is what I want, you know, the results that they're looking for are, you know, is to be with this person, you know, and it was very, very much like my relationship that I had to let go of that was difficult to leave, you know, where I constantly had the result in mind, and that was, you know, for us to be together. But it was when I discovered, well, when I started asking, rather, why do I want to be with this person? Why do I want this result? Why is this in the forefront of my brain? Well, you know, as I started deconstructing the situation, well, I want to be with this person because I love this person, you know, but then why do I love this person? You know, this person is kind. Well, this person has not been kind. You know, well, this person is generous. No, this person was generous in the past and is no longer that way. And I realized that the person and what I was hanging on to and that result that I was longing for was the wrong damn result, because all of the whys that I had and all of the becauses that I had and all of the reasons that I had constructed were no longer there. And once, you know, you take out all of those reasons that you have, you know, to want that result, once you realize that there is no more reason there, it's very, very easy to let go.
Exactly. And that's some of the lessons that, you know, you've learned. And, you know, I think that you brought up something very important, that we have to just not worry so much about outcome and just do what we need to do and watch life unfold.
Yep.
Well, we are at the end of our show, and thank you so much for tonight, Nicole. And
thank
we will
you, Cindy.
All get together next week and have a great weekend. I hope you find that house soon.
You know what? We're going to be shopping this weekend, so we'll get there.
I keep your eyes open this weekend.
You got it.
Good luck to you. Bye.